You talk as if you know what you say to be true and that you actually know, as a fact, that there is a transformation of the soul that results from this new birth. I hope you are not mistaken, for if there be any such fact, I would like to hear it and the way to obtain it. So if you can enlighten me, do so. I know what you say in words, but that does not satisfy me. I want that, if there be such, which is back of words, can you help me? Well, I see a spirit, and he is very beautiful and says, he will help me to understand if I will sincerely listen to him and I will, so good night. I am William R. Woodward and whom you knew when I was on earth, your friend. I am here, Mary Kennedy. Well, I see that you would rather hear from me than from the last spirit, although you are interested in showing the way to spirits who know not the way to salvation and the wonders of the new birth. Yet, I believe that I am somewhat nearer to you and that you would rather have a few lines from me. 612. Well, I am very happy because of the opportunity of writing once more to my soulmate and telling him that I am his own loving Mary, and am always anxious to tell him. I know that he will be pleased to know that I have progressed since he last heard from me, for I am now in the celestial planes that have no number, and among spirits who fairly shine with the great love of the Father, and are happy beyond all conception, not only of mortals, but of spirits who have never reached the plane in which I now am. I wish that I could explain to Leslie what my present condition and surroundings are, so that he might form some idea of what the happiness of his soulmate is, but I cannot, and will not try. But this I can tell him, that my new position and happiness do not keep me away from him, for the increased love of the divine that enters my soul, there also enters in a greater love for him, and a greater longing to be with him, and as he cannot come to me, I can come to him, and in coming bring my happiness with me in all its fullness. He will understand, that while I fully realize that the higher I progress the greater the distance between us, yet he will also understand that I must seek to progress with all the strivings of my soul. And he must not think this progress will keep me apart for a longer time than if I should remain stationary and wait for him. It will merely seem so, for when he comes to the spirit world and learns just what my position means, he will want the more to be with me, and will strive the harder to reach my home, so that his strivings and longings to see my home will be such that what is lost in distance will be made up to him in time, and besides, I will be so much more enabled to help him, for the greater the love the more rapid the progress, and when he sees the great love that I shall have and feel its influence, he will the more easily appreciate the possibilities of his own progress. Yes, I am surprisingly happy, and only wait his coming to make complete the soulmate love, but of course I do not long for his coming in a way that might bring him to me sooner than it is intended that he shall come. He has a work to do and he must know it, and that is his sacrifice, as he will understand after he comes over, but it is a glorious sacrifice, for from it will flow that which will enable him to make the more rapid progress after his work shall be done. I will not write more now. I know that he would be glad to know of my progress, and so I took the opportunity to tell him, and am so happy, the Paget Messages 1917, that I can do so. I wonder if he ever thinks what a difference there would be in his own soul if during all the years prior to his coming over, we should have to remain silent, and he never knew of what love is waiting for him, and what a soulmate is trying to do for him. How blessed we both are that we can exchange our thoughts of love, and know that sometime in the near future there will be a glorious and happy meeting of two souls that are really one. Well, I will not take more of your time. So with my greater love to him, I will say good night, Mary. December 21, 1917. Come to the bridal chamber, death. Come to the young mother when she feels for the first time her newborn's breath. And so death came to me when I was but a young bride and lived in expectation of a new, loving being that would be part of my flesh, and died when my baby came. As life came to it, death came to me, and we missed each other at the very moment that I heard its first cry. And when I came to life in the spirit world I was bitter and thought God to be so heartless and cruel to take me from my baby, and was so unhappy, and wanted to die over again. I would like to tell you of my misery and gloom and hatred of my very God, whom I had believed in and thought that I loved, but I cannot now. But this I must say, that my unhappiness was for a short time only, for bright spirits came to me and comforted me, and assured me that I was not separated from my baby, but could go to my baby and watch over him and give him my mother's love, and so I did, and am now doing, for my baby who is now a man, and still I am with him, and I know that I have been a greater blessing to him as his spirit mother, than I would have been had I remained his mortal mother. I write this to comfort mothers who have to leave their babies as they come into the earth life, and to assure them, that, though they disappear from the visions of their loved ones, yet they can always be with them, close and in deep rapport with them and love. Death comes as an enemy, but when recognized, only a friend appears. Mothers, thank God for such a death and the great consolation it brings to the departing and to those left behind. Goodbye. Grace Stanhope. I am here, Judge Sirik. Well, old boy, how are you tonight? I speak thus that you may know that I am feeling just as friendly as I did when on earth, and you may feel assured that I am more friendly than I was when I used to talk to you about the mysteries of the unseen. Now, of course, I know a great many things that were to us, at that time, mysterious, and know that the mysterious exists only in the minds of men, and that everything in our universe of truth and mystery is merely a convenient man-made word for hiding our want of knowledge. Well, Paget, I am glad that I can write to you again, for it gives me much pleasure in being able to do so. Of course, I am with you very often, listening to the conversation of yourself and friends, and the reading of the messages that you receive. There are so many spirits around you, all desiring to write, that I can only at times write myself, and, as you have learned, we always give the preference to others whenever we know of their desires. This is one of the things that we learn and apply in our life here as we progress. It is not only that we do unto others as we would have them do unto us, but we do unto others as we know to be for the good of these others. We try to efface self, and as we advance in our possession of the love, we find it less and less difficult to sacrifice self for the benefit of others, and the wonderful thing is that in doing this we are the happier and realize that we should not live for self alone. Well, you will commence to think that I am a preacher, and in a way I am. But what I say I know to be true, and not the result of any speculation. I am progressing and am now in the seventh sphere, and if I were to attempt to tell you what this means, and could do so, you would think that I was either a storyteller surpassing the author of The Thousand and One Nights, or that your imagination was running away with your senses. But it is a fact that the beauty and wonders of this sphere are beyond my ability to describe or your ability to understand. Rose, of course, is with me, and we are so very happy. What a wonderful thing this soulmate love is. Now I realize that the happiness which is mine compensates for all the lonesome times of my old bachelor days on earth, and as I see that your friend is a poor, lonesome bachelor, I want to tell him that when he comes to the spirit world and has his soulmate to love and cherish him, he will forget that he was ever a lonesome bachelor on 613, the Paget Messages 1917, Earthen will regret only that he had not become a spirit long before he entered that world which so many dread to think of. Sometimes I have been present when some of his Catholic friends visited him, Eugene Morgan, and attempted to annihilate him. And although you may look upon us as sedate and pious spirits, yet we enjoyed the encounter very much, and especially when we saw that these priests were worsted and lost all the fighting blood, as you may say. While I did not know him on earth, yet I feel that I know him very well now, and I desire to tell him that he is doing a wonderful and exceptional work, and one that is doing and has done much good among these priest-ridden people. He may not know, but it is a fact that when he enters into these controversies with the priests, that they are not the only spirits present, for many of their followers accompany them to see the enemy of their church annihilated, and they hear what may be said and see the results, and, as a consequence, many of them are caused to think and seek the help of the numerous high spirits who are always present, ready to give the help that they need, and many of these followers are, by the means mentioned, rescued from their purgatory and erroneous beliefs. I should like to write more on this subject and describe the actual scenes that accompany his encounters with these priests, if only to encourage him. But I cannot do it tonight. Well, Christmas will soon be here, and we have the Christmas feeling, but it is not exactly as you have it on earth. We have the actual visible presence of Jesus and feel his love, and know that he was born and is now the living, loving, all-embracing Christ in his teachings and manifestations of the Father's love. I wish you and your friend and Dr. Stone a Merry Christmas, and desire to tell you that many of your spirit friends will spend the day with you and bring us presents their love and prayers and best wishes for your happiness. Good night, old friend, and God bless you, Sirik. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I am glad that the judge wrote you tonight, as you had not heard from him for some time, and he was very anxious to write. He is very happy and is progressing, and with his rose, enjoys bliss to the fullest. The other spirits actually wrote, and the young mother is now a very beautiful spirit and feels a 614, great sympathy for all mothers who die as their babies come into life. I will not write more now. So love me and pray to the Father with all your soul and longings for his love. Your own true and loving, Helen. December 23, 1917. I am here, Swedenborg. I have heard the messages that you have just received, and I desire to impress upon you the necessity and importance of striving to follow the advice therein given, for if you fail now to do the work upon which you have entered, your regrets when you come to the spirit world will be so great that you will find it almost impossible to get rid of them even if you progress to the soul spheres where the love is also abundant. I know what I write, for that was my experience, and it seemed to me that everywhere I turned as I sought to progress I saw before me the word failure, and for many long years it was my ghost of a recollection. Failure, as you may know, is comparative. And men may fail in their ambitions and desires for fame and wealth and position, and yet when they come to the spirit world they realize that such failures mean comparatively little, and in their progress in the truth, they soon forget their failures and cast them behind. But when a mortal has conferred upon him a work which does not have for its object the accumulation of wealth or the attaining of fame or position, but the great and vital end of showing men the way by which they can become reconciled to God and partake of his very nature in love and obtain immortality, and also has given to him the privilege of receiving the great truths of God in relation to the salvation of men, then I say that failure means a great catastrophe for him and a great calamity for humanity, and that man is in a condition of mind and recollection beyond description. Very few men have had conferred upon them this great privilege and power and responsibility, and I was one of them and was a failure, not because I did not try to receive and deliver the truth, but because I prevented, by my preconceived ideas of what the truth should be, the real and pure truth from coming to me and thence to humanity. In a way I was unconscious of my failure or of the existence of conditions in me that caused the failure. Yet when I came to the spirit world and realized the failure that I had made, then everything was a failure to my conscience. The Paget Messages 1917, in your case, you have no such preconceived ideas to hamper you or prevent you from receiving the truth, for you are used merely as instrument for these truths to transcribe, and they are delivered in the very language of the writers, and your failure, if such there shall be, will be entirely due to your indifference or want of effort to get in condition that will enable the messages to be written. You must see your responsibility and your duty, and I may say your love that should urge you to work, and you must not become a failure. I am your friend and brother and co-worker in making known these truths, and only write because I as a failure can speak from experience. So my brother, turn your thought more to this work, and if necessary sacrifice every worldly consideration to carry forward your work and to make perfect your efforts to fulfill the great mission with which you have been blessed. I will not write more now. May the Father bless you with his love, your brother in Christ, Swedenborg. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well dear, you have received some important messages tonight, and I hope that you will read and ponder them, for they are of great spiritual importance, not only to the work that you are doing but also to you personally. I shudder to think of what the consequences might be if you would make a failure of the great privilege that has been bestowed upon you, and you must think of what Swedenborg wrote, for he would write as one having had an experience with the knowledge that came from the experience. But I know that you will not be a failure, and that you will give your best endeavors to the accomplishing of the work. I wish to tell you also, that you should pray more for the love and long for it with all the longing of your soul, and then as it flows into your soul I knows that your desire to accomplish this work will so increase that there will be no possibility of failure. So sweetheart, follow the advice given you and determine that the great work of the Master will not this time be a failure through you. I was with you at church tonight and realized that you enjoyed the services very much and especially the music and your soul experience, and considerable happiness from the love that came to you. And there was much love with and around you, for many of the spirits were present, but Jesus was not there. 615. Again has Christmas come, and the people are now worshipping their Jesus as God, a worship which is very distasteful to him and one which he hopes by the truths of the messages that he is delivering to you will cease, when these messages shall become known to the people. He realizes how much harm such worship does and also realizes that he is a mere son of the Father as are many and all spirits who have received his divine love in their souls, and become a part of his divinity, and Jesus knowing that he is merely a child of the Father, dependent upon him for his love and mercy, avoids all opportunity of hearing the praises and worship of those who substitute him in the place of the Father. So distasteful and blasphemous is this worship to him that he even gives up his work in the earth plane among spirits and men until the time of this universal worship of him shall pass by. I am so glad that this great truth of the only one and true God, the only being to be worshipped, is being revealed to mankind. So you see how important that you do your work. Well, you have written a great deal tonight and are tired and I will not draw on you further. Love me and believe that I love you, and pray to the Father to give you his love and strength to perform your mission. Good night, my dear husband. Your own true and loving, Helen. December 24, 1917. I am here, Immanuel Kant. I have listened to your conversation tonight and have been much interested, so much that I have wondered what the source of your apparent beliefs is. For I see that you are sincere in your declarations of what you declare the truths to be. I have been in the spirit world for a great many years, and have not been idle as regards my investigation of the truth, and have given my very strenuous efforts to learn the truth of man's destiny and the ultimate end of his existence. I was a thinker when on earth, and had a considerable reputation as to being a deep thinker of things metaphysical, and even today I have a large following among those mortals who give their time and attention to the investigation of the truths of the nature spoken of. I have progressed very much, not only in the spheres in which I have lived, but also in the development of my intellect and in the development of my soul, for I enjoy very, the Paget Messages 1917, considerable happiness, and have been able to apply the moral principles that should govern men in their relation to one another and to God, and have experienced the benefit of such application. I have many associates like myself in development of the dualities mentioned, and often do we assemble and discuss these important principles of man's relationship to God and to the development of man and the aim and ultimate destiny of his existence. Truth is, we know, of itself alone, and never changes. And when we believe and are convinced that we have found a truth, we accept it as a basis upon which to found our further efforts for investigation and the discovery of other truths, and, as a consequence, we are not compelled to depend upon mere speculation as we were when on earth. We know that the spirit of man never ceases to live, and, hence, immortality must be his certain portion in the great economy of God, and that, as the law of being is progression, we must always be enabled to progress. And having that fact from which to start, we continue our investigations and studies in the certain belief that their results will be the discovery of the truths, and that we must ultimately find the reason for man's existence, and his final destiny. But from what I have heard you and your friends say, there must be a branch of truth that I or my friends have never heard of or attempted to investigate, and to me it sounds very attractive, and so much so, that I would like to have some enlightenment from which I may be able to postulate a premise upon which I may build a superstructure if possible. I have, of course, heard a great deal of love and the purification of the soul, and the necessity for men and spirits striving to get rid of all those things that contaminate the soul and foster the continuation of the inharmony that now exists and keeps man from becoming the perfect man, and spirit also. I have heard that in the higher spiritual kingdom there are spirits of men that have become perfect and existing in harmony with the laws of God, yet they do not claim to be more than men, perfect men. But you talk of a love that will make men, or the souls of men, divine, in their constituency, and therefore, a part of that divinity which we ascribe only to the infinite, and I must tell you that what you say has opened up to me a new vision of possibility of study that may lead to what we now have no conception of. I am sincere in what I write, and if you can help me in entering on the study of the truths of which you speak, I will be very grateful, and assure you that it will not be lost on an inattentive ear or a mind stunted by a belief that it already knows all that can be acquired, or the way to acquire all that may be learned. I was on earth a philosopher and known as Immanuel Kant. December 26, 1917. I am here, Jesus. Well, my dear brother, I am glad to find that you are in so much better condition, and I know that very soon now I will be able to resume the delivery of my messages. Well, I have no vicar on earth, in answer to question by Mr. Paget. In the first place, I am not God, but a mere spirit, a child of God, and one that worships him with all the devotion of my soul, praying for an increased bestowal of his love and for a complete unity with him, and with the longings to progress eternally in the development of my soul. In the second place, the Pope is a mere man, and he can only represent God to the extent that he has in his own soul the divine love and the consequent soul development. The mere fact that he is the head of the Catholic Church gives him no greater privilege, or no greater commission to represent God on earth, than is possessed by any other man with the same amount of soul development. His claimed infallibility is a delusion and a snare, and he is just as much subject to sin, and sinning, even as Pope of the Church, as is any other mortal, and this claim, which is an attribute belonging only to God, will be one of the sins for which he will suffer very much when he comes to the spirit world and has his soul opened up to the truth. At some time I intend to write you in detail as to the Catholic Church and its erroneous dogmas, beliefs, and teachings, and as to its destiny. But this I will say, that the worship of me as God is a blasphemy, and a thing that is so blasphemous that I care not to remain in the earth plane and hear the prayers of these misguided Christians. I know that this will sound surprising, and unchristian, to many, and they will continue to believe in their faith in me as God, and also to worship me. But it is a very harmful untruth, and these people will have to realize it sooner or later, in the spirit world. And this is one of the errors that my messages are designed to eradicate. 616, The Paget Messages 1917. Well, my dear brother, have faith. Your brother and friend, Jesus. December 27, 1917. I am here, Bismarck. If convenient, I should like to write a few lines tonight in reference to the war and the prospects of its ending. I'm Bismarck, and as I have not written you for some time in reference to the subject, I thought it advisable to write a few words. As I told you in my last communication, the cause of the ending of the war would not be any decisive battle but the deplorable condition of the people of Germany and of its allied conditions, and what I then said I repeat with renewed emphasis, for since I wrote the conditions of these people in the way of starvation and deprivation of those things that make life worth living have greatly increased with no prospect of betterment so long as the war continues. The Emperor and his co-workers have endeavored by every false statement that they could make to convince the people that the war would soon end in victory for the fatherland, and that very soon they would be relieved of the distress and starvation, and that peace and good fortune would soon come to them. And with a remarkable credulity these people have believed their representatives and have endeavored to endure all these privations and hardships with patience and confidence. But the time has arrived when this faith and hope have become shaken, and in many instances in many parts of Germany and Austria the people have come to a realization that this peace and relief from their deplorable condition is no nearer than they were months ago, and that less certainty attends the promises of the rulers and military parties. And as a consequence dissatisfaction has arisen, and the desire to save and make secure life of the nation has changed into a desire to preserve and save from hunger and destruction the individual workers of that nation. And this feeling has become so fixed with many of these people they are commencing to think, and are thinking that they are being sacrificed in order to forward the plans and ambitions of their rulers, and also that they as individuals are not objects of consideration in the thoughts and schemes of these rulers. Starvation is prevalent in the land, and despair has taken the place of hope with many of these people, and there is slowly creeping into the minds of many the thought that they must arouse 617 themselves and take the control of affairs into their own hands. And to such an extent does this thought possess these people, and among them many people who think for themselves, that you must not be surprised to hear at any time that the people have revolted and that the power of the inhabitants have been overthrown. Repulsion of the movement of Russia, although controlled and guided by men of more intelligence and responsibility. Yes, this ending of the war is coming, and the people will rule, and in doing so will make the best terms of peace with the Allies that can be made. Only a little while longer and you will see the fulfillment of my predictions. No great battle on the Western Front will be fought as the world now expects, for before that time arises the German army of the Kaiser will have become the army of the people, and many will abandon the fighting line and return to their homes and devastated farms and houses. It is also sad when I think of what Germany will become and what it might have been had not the mad Kaiser and his country of ambitious guards and advisers let their ambition run away with their duty and obligation to the true interests of Germany. As I have said before, the Kaiser will die and his followers will die or be scattered, and their names and horrible deeds will become dark memory of things that destroyed the national life and the individual lives of many of the promising men and youth of the fatherland. If I were the Bismarck of a short time ago, this calamity of my nation would cause me to worry and regret and deplore the day that the mad boy continued to succeed his good father on the throne. But now I view these things in a different light and see that out of all these calamities will arise a happier Germany and people free and not subject to the iron bonds of any one man or family, with rights supposed and proclaimed to be God-given. Yes, Germany will suffer and decline as a world power, but in the place of this power and insatiable desire for aggrandizement and aggression will come peace and happiness and a greater spiritual development among the people. Well, I have written enough, and the handwriting is on the wall and its prediction cannot be escaped from. Soon, soon, soon the end will come, and with it the salvation of more nations than one. I am not a prophet, but in the law of cause and effect nations are enthroned as well as individuals, and as I can see the causes that are operating, I can also see the effects that must follow. And the consummation will be that, the Paget messages 1917, Germany must fall, never to arise again as a great nation that she has been in the past, but a purer, happier and more loving nation than ever before. I will not write more. American lives will not be sacrificed to any great extent, for the great battles of the war have been fought. Good night, your friend, Bismarck. December 31, 1917. I am here, your own true and loving Helen. Well, dear, I see you are not feeling so well tonight, and I will write only a short letter. As Dr. Stone said, the year has nearly gone never to be recalled, and the thoughts of the year have found their places in the great eternity, some to have gone forever never to be remembered, and others to live to face you when you come to the spirit world. I am glad to be able to state that the large majority of these thoughts are such that you need not dread to face, for they have been of things that will help you in your progress in the spheres of love, and what I say of you I say of the drive, for we have been very close to him during the year that is past. While your account books have something that do not savor of the spiritual and true, and are to be forgotten as soon as possible, yet many of them are those which only the possession of the Father's love could have engendered, and which will meet you with influences of encouragement and give you great satisfaction, and cause you to thank the Father that you were so susceptible to the influence of that love and to the impressions of the high spirits who have been with you both so much during the year. You have much to congratulate yourselves, for your souls will not show the condition of underdevelopment that they should even a year ago. You may not be able to appreciate the extent of your development or what your real condition of soul is, and I who can see and know desire to tell you that I rejoice with you and am so thankful to the Father for his mercy and love which have been so bountifully bestowed upon you. Not only do I myself rejoice in this fact, but many bright spirits who love you both so much are praising God for his great goodness to you. And tonight many are present, but none happier than your soulmates who, of course, have a love for you that the others cannot have. So notwithstanding the material troubles and worries that you may have had during the year, you have so much to be thankful for, yes, so much more than you realize.